Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody. Good to be back here. Now, this don't have anything to do with the lesson. And please bear with me. Forgive me. Now, I'm a retired military veteran, so I'm on VA medication. Am I hearing something in here? Is it me? Okay. I didn't know, because you do that to disabled vet. We don't know what's going on. Thank you, man. Okay. I didn't know. I want to make sure we get everybody out if something get ready to go off. You know. I didn't know. I'm sorry. Okay. Again, good morning. Glad to be here. I want to thank the church. Thank God for allowing me, my life, and you and your life, and us to be here to fellowship together. We really don't understand how good we got it. You know, I guess the older I get, the more I realize that I don't have to be here. I didn't have to get up this morning. I thank God for that. I want to thank the leadership of the church for allowing me this opportunity. I think there's nothing greater than having some leadership and somebody to inspire you that we can grow. There's a lot of times that we go some places and we sit there just stagnant. We just come and sit there. Nothing can happen because we're not moving. You can't grow. And there's a saying that if it ain't growing, it's dead. That's the saying. Thanks to my church family. You know, I look forward to seeing y'all. I declare I do. You know, y'all, you make me think you like hearing my story. They ain't just story. It's true. I'm telling you. I've been through some mess. I've been through some stuff. And my wife, she's here. For those of you who are wondering, the boys, they laid out. They AWOL. They absent without leave. They was called itself looking at the fight last night, and I believe the fight was watching them. They went to sleep at the fight. So they'll be here. You know, I got it. You know, I'm going to get it. Anyway, they'll be here, and I thank God for that. Now, before I get started, if you would, please, let me, I always like to thank God, give God a prayer before I do my message, so I make sure that I'm doing His will. So if you would, let us bow, please. Heavenly Father, I ask that you move on my heart, my soul, my mind right now, that I rightfully divide your word, and disseminate what you would have me to do. I ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My scripture, supporting scripture today, will be coming from Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 10. I like this because, again, this is another one of Paul's letters. And you know, and the more I go through this thing, like I said this morning, it's almost like Paul is doing a broken record type of thing. We're doing the same thing over and over. Wherever he finds, that's what's going on. So if you would, please, when you have it, say amen. Bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. But let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I guess you wonder what's coming from this. It's pretty much self-explanatory, and if you go straight through it, I just thought that it meant one thing, but as I got through my commentaries, there was something else out there. There was something else out there. Just bear with me, and the reason why I'm telling this, let me back up. The title to my message this morning is not my job. Not my job. Now, of course, I like to do a prelude leading and an icebreaker and let you know, because I have a true story that bears directly with this. When I retired from the military, active duty military, I started teaching at Fort Jackson. I taught the 91 Bravo School. That's wheeled vehicle maintenance. I taught that from the M1 on down. That class was a 13-week class. 13-week class. And in that class, those 13 weeks, 10 of them was teaching you on equipment. Teaching you on equipment. I was a senior instructor. As a senior instructor, I was a module chief. That means that I was like a class supervisor. I had other instructors that was under me. I had one instructor named Mr. Mercado. Mr. Mercado. I love Mr. Mercado. Mr. Mercado was from Puerto Rico. That's what he made me say it like that. That's where he's from, Puerto Rico. And he had a real heavy Spanish accent. Because I knew what he was going through, because I have a country accent, you know. So anyway, when we have a class, in the class that I taught the principle and theory of the internal combustion engine. That was one of my classes that I taught. You go from zero all the way up to turn the engine down and put the head gasket on and crank it up. For that to work, I had to have what we call training aids. So each one of the stations had engines on it. It had a Humvee engine, and the soldiers would go in groups of fours, and they would turn that engine down and put it back together. At the end of the class, the instructor, because I had seven instructors with me for the small group training, seven instructors with me. At the end of the class, the instructor supposed to fix his training aid back so we get ready for the next class. That don't make sense. You know, we ain't having fun. And Mr. Mercado, bless his heart, he would always say, I say, Mr. Mercado, you need to go over there and get your training aid ready. We got another class coming in this afternoon. And he would say, not my yard. Not my yard. He did. Huh? And of course, me not wanting to do bad, I'd go over there and I'd get the training aid back up for the next class and get it for him and put it back on, and he would teach it. Well, lo and behold, time came, the United States Army and the Infinite Wisdom saw fit to move the 91 Bravo School to Fort Lee, Virginia. 2010, the word come down, it's going to Fort Lee, Virginia. 2015, the door will close. Everybody that wants to keep their job have to be certified in every mod at that school so they can move them, and the government pay for your house, baggage, and everything and move you to Fort Lee. It's a true story. This is what happened. How many not going? Grady threw his hand up. Said, why are you not going? I don't need money that bad. I said, I done did it for 27 years. Do these 10, I'm staying here. Do what you need to do, but Grady will be here when they lock the door. Okay. Say, okay, but Mr. Stafford, since you're certified on all 10 mods, then what you'll do, you'll certify all the instructors, because once you leave here, you're going up on another MACOM. That's what they call it, Major Command. And the MACOM wanted all the instructors to be currently certified on everything. I was certified on everything as a senior instructor. So they said, Mr. Stafford, you got 2 weeks to get all those instructors up to date. The issue was the instructor himself had to come on his own and come and see me for me to teach the class. All of them done it. There were some that didn't go. The ones that didn't come to the class, the majority didn't come to class, we assumed that they were not going to Fort Lee. Well, lo and behold, the colonel come down and said, Mr. Stanford, you will stop teaching instructors. You have two more classes that you will teach before we close the doors. These are regular students. You will not teach another class to an instructor. If the instructor ain't ready, he's not going to Fort Lee.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Mercado found out that he didn't get the job that he was going to get at Supply. He was going to, you know, they tried to get other jobs to keep from leaving South Carolina, so he found out he wasn't going to get the other job that he was going to get over at Supply. So he said, let me rush and get certified to go to Fort Lee. Huh? Now, y'all know what's coming next, right? So he come to old Mr. Stafford, the senior instructor for the internal combustion engine. He says, Mr. Stafford, I need you to certify me. You know what was next, right? Not my yacht. I had to say it. They're like, not my job. You didn't understand. You, huh? Now, that was worth 2 months of pay for me to tell him that. I've been carrying him for 5 years. You hear me? And my point to all of this is that when we make these declarations and statements, we need to know where we are and what we're talking about. And I liken that to the church here because a lot of times we in the church like to think that everything belongs to the leadership of the church. When in fact, as we go through this lesson, you're going to find out what everybody's job is. That's why I'm going to this. Anyway, I know you didn't want to hear, so let me go ahead and get started. Paul writes this letter to the churches of Galatia. Paul is running into a problem. Paul finds out that they are arguing and have major issues going on with the church and the Jews and the Gentiles. It is one of the most important writings of Paul in establishing the importance of grace compared to law. Grace compared to law. See, some of the Jews, because of who they were, they felt like, no, we got to do this by the law, not looking at and understanding that without God's grace, you ain't even in this thing. So Paul said, let me go here and try to get this straight. This is a classic case of that we better than them and we need to tell them what to do. Or that ain't my job. That's what this is getting to. That's where this is coming. So Paul writes this letter and he covers some things that maybe, just maybe, we can apply to our everyday life here, right here in church as we go through. Paul and salvation by grace alone were under attack by the churches of Galatia. But let's get back to the scripture. Verse 2 reads, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. This points directly to the moral obligation of Christians. Sometimes life struggle can cause moral burdens, and the person, sister, brother in Christ can be pulled down and fall away from the church. However, Christ's word teaches us to love thy neighbor as thyself. Sometimes in our life, we all need somebody to lean on. This is why the scripture teaches us that one should fall. If one should fall, we are to restore them gently. Gently. He stopped there. He was doing good. He stopped there gently. You can't go over there. You did wrong here. You go into hell for this. That ain't how that worked. Don't think your job and responsibility is to go over there and boast up how big you are. I'm not beating you down. I'm just saying this is what Paul get across. I went through all the commentaries on this, and they said Paul was struggling with how he got to get this out to them because it seems to be a problem of one of them, the Jews were always looking bad at the Gentiles on how they were getting things done and what they were doing in relationship to how the worship spoke to God. They felt it was their responsibility to tell them what they needed to do to get straight. That's how that worked. We sometimes in church, because we come more than the other person, or our car is bigger than the other person, or, you know, my ham was cooked better than yours at the last Thanksgiving meal, I should be able to tell you something. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. Your duties and responsibilities don't have you in charge of nobody. That's a fact. So Paul says, Paul teaches them or tells them that whenever we have one that falls, especially if they're walking in Christ, to try to restore them gently, bring them back into the fold, not run them off and tell them and pump yourself up with it. These are things that we as a church have to do. That ain't the preacher, the minister, or Curtis's responsibility. That ain't Mr. Max. That ain't Randy's. That's all of ours. That's all of our responsibility. That's what he's getting to. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. This is speaking of conceited people or a conceited person. Paul is perhaps speaking of some of the Galatians because of their being Jews who thought themselves to be better than others. The thing that made them nothing in this case is that the fact that they were still looking to the law instead of grace. You broke the law instead of grace. Well, from a Christian standpoint, we all break the law every day. Every day. Every day. You got to get this in your head right now. Get this down right now. That you know better than nobody else. I don't care how long you've been going. You can be. What? USA insurance told me, say, Mr. Stanford, you're a tenured customer. You got 34 years with us. But you're still a customer. Just like everybody else. The guy that joined yesterday, you're still a customer. Just like everybody. Pay your money. That's what we're trying to get you to do. And that's the same thing here. We all the same. That make a difference. Salvation is the same. Just like it is for us. Let's not spend our time while we're trying to bring or restore or get people to understand. Let's not elevate ourselves. The objective is to help someone, to elevate the others. Let someone else elevate you. That way it don't look like it's a conceit or you are the best or you are this or you special in this whole operation over someone else. Talking about how good you are and never made a mistake can be detrimental to a church person or a babe in Christ trying to come back to church. It can be detrimental. That's everybody's job. We need to look at what we're doing. We all fall down. We all fall down. Verses 4 and 5. But let every man prove his own work, and he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own load. First off, let me make sure we don't get something mixed up. This is not a contradiction to verse 2. The light went out? Okay. This is not a contradiction to verse 2. This is simply saying, make sure your life is right with God before you're trying to help somebody else. Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Because I'm going to have problems if you over there trying to explain to me how to say the Lord's Prayer and you cussing every other verb. We need to look at now. We look at these things and a lot of times we don't realize what our responsibility is. What we have to do. It ain't because you have a teacher or a leader or someone in there. It ain't his responsibility to be more holy than you. Y'all all trying to get to the same goal. That's how we bring each other along. We need to make sure that we all are marching in the same direction and saying the same thing. That's what we need to look at. This is simply saying, make sure that your life is on the right path. That you are trying to spiritually help each other as yourself. It also reflects why we should not compare ourselves to each other. I used to give this analogy to my kids. You know, Satan come at you where you're weak at. You need to understand that. Satan come at you where you're weak at. He'll never come at me for money because money don't excite me. You understand that? He's never going to come at me for child pornography and all that other stuff because I'm not doing it. Some people fall to that. He's going to come at me when somebody cut me off in the road. He's going to come at me now. Yeah, I got ready now. I get him now. That's where I'm weak at. He ain't going to come at me for being a drag queen. I ain't dressed up like no woman. That ain't happening. He's going to come at me whenever I'm over here trying to tell my child something and he's looking like he don't want to hear it. Get great. I done fed you all these years. mindful. Be mindful. We all have our own individual struggles. They are all the same thing. It's wrong. Period. Yours don't make you special. It makes you a Christian struggling in Christ like the rest of us. You don't leave them. That's what he's saying. Paul, in verse 6, Paul is referring to simply, spiritually and morally excellent things learned from the word in which they fellowship together. This is saying God has shown you something about the word of God. You are to share it with other teachers so they can teach the truth. And it says that those that taught are to help with day-to-day needs of the teacher. Again, they targeted us. You don't just come and sit here and listen. We're supposed to help. We're disseminating the word. How are we going to minister and fellowship to people and bring them in here if we don't? I can't be 100,000 places at one time. Not that I'm doing it right. And once you learn something, you can help me with stuff. That's the whole pretense behind this. When he says here, let's go back up. In verse 6, I want to reread that. Let him that is taught in the word communicate it to him that teacheth in all good things. That's what we're saying. Man, let me tell you what God done for me. That's how that worked. You walk out and you're supposed to be a good news story, but you locked up tight as a 30-year vault. How do we know? How did he know? How do anybody trust that? If we're going to bring somebody in, and that's what we're supposed to do, I'm supposed to pass the good word, we're supposed to pass, you're supposed to pass the good word on. That's all our job. That's all our duties. All our responsibility. And verses 7 and 8. Now this one is good. For me, from Willard, North Carolina, population 500, this is good. This, I think, is one of the most profound verses in the Bible. Be ye not deceived. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. Huh? Now look, it can't get no plainer than that for me. You hear me? Let me tell you something. You can't sow thorns and thistles and think you're going to pick watermelons and strawberries. That ain't what's coming up. That's the analogy they use. I love that analogy. You know why? Because the Bible is saying that you do all this dirt and mess all your life, and you think that you're going to reap the benefits of a saved person, you've lost your rabbit mind. That's been saying that from the beginning. You're going to reap what you sow. There's a saying that they have. Listen to this saying here that we have in the military. You can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool God anytime. No, you just can't fool him. So now you pull that stunt here at church. You pull that stunt home. You do whatever. Oh, I'm right as rain. You need to get your life together. Young man. I don't count. You don't get any points for convincing me about a lie that you're trying to pull off. None. You don't get nothing for that. You wasting time. The way I understand it, is that right? Is that right or wrong, Curtis? Is that right? You don't get nothing. God is the one you got to get past. The creator of all things, your soul, your life. Be not deceived. And here's the part that I love about that one. He didn't say a Christian man. He didn't say a Jew man. He said, be ye not deceived, for God is not mocked whatsoever a man. Period. That's every one of us. He tagged every one of us. Every single woman. Whatever you do, that's what you're going to reap. It's coming. It's coming. You know how the song says we understand it more in the by and by? Rest assured. Rest assured. As I get older, the more I understand some of the things that I used to see with my daddy and my family around there. I can see, you know. The answer or the reaping is not necessarily for me to see. But if you're fortunate enough and God display one of his miracle lessons there in front of you, pay attention. Pay attention. Because a lot of us respond to a significant emotional event. By the time the car rolled over five times and you out there, you're ready to be saved now. Yeah. It just dawned on me. I'm going to die. Okay. Make sure you understand. But if you sow to the Spirit, you reap the Spirit. That's what he's saying. We have to understand and accept every single one of us, as long as we live and walk the face of the earth, you're going to do wrong. That's the whole purpose of this thing of repenting and asking for forgiveness. That's why it's one day at a time. Don't ever. One of the worst mistakes, that's why I say, don't fool yourself. You got it made. Huh? You ain't got it made until the man closed the vault down in your casket. That's it. You ain't got to worry about it no more now. You know, I'm going to tell you this. We went to my cousin's wife, you know, that was in the past, you know, and it amazes me all the stuff they get up there and say. Once you know God, you listen to this man. I'm scared for them dudes. I'm thinking, man, lightning going to come through here and get us. That's going to be, huh? I know that ain't true. And we're sitting here saying all of this. Like, that's going to help that person. Don't make that mistake. If you don't get anything out of a funeral, know this. I know we got loved ones and I cry. I really do. But know this, that God's promise is being fulfilled, because it's happening exactly like he said it's going to happen. You hear me? From the dust which you came, you shall return. Ain't no exceptions. Every single one of us. I ain't seen it yet. In verse 10, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Here, simple, we should all be doing good to all men, especially to them of the church that we're going to. That's what he's saying. And then 10. Here, Paul pretty much sums the whole thing up, that it is all our jobs, it's every one of our jobs, to do good to all men, especially to the men in the house of the church and the household of faith. What we have to do as Christians is to be proactive in doing God's will. That's what we got to do, be proactive. Not just the ones that are easy, but the ones that are difficult also. We need to lean forward. We need to do our best to be all we can be. Don't worry about what he's doing, what I'm doing, what the other person doing. Just what we need to do. If we do that collectively, that body that we're talking about in Sunday school is the one that we're maintaining, the church in and of itself. Not the building. Us. Us. Don't get it twisted. If you've been coming here for this building, there's something wrong. Something really wrong. We need to do this for us. And when times and situations get rough, we are to lean on each other. That's what Paul is saying. That's what we're here for. We need to grow and lean together. That's why we're here. This thing wasn't set up for us to pull alone by ourselves. We are to wholeheartedly accept God's plan of salvation. You say, well, Grady, what do you mean by you saying that? I'm going to close it out. I'm finna get you out of here. I'm finna close you out. I started off with the term, not my job. Yes, it is. Every bit of Christianity is every one of our jobs. When we say we're going to be a Christian, you can't grab a partial handful of water. You have to get a whole container of water or no water at all. You can't partially grab God's salvation. You either give it all you've got, or you're not giving anything. As he said here, we're all going to be held accountable for what we do. So why are we here? Why are we trying to figure out who has the responsibility of who has the responsibility of going to see the sick, feeding the hungry, or doing this in the church, or helping teach, or whatever the case may be? That's all our responsibility. Make no mistake about it. That's all ours. And we're not supposed to be ugly to one another that we know that's committed a sin and fell away. What would you do? What would you do if you got sick? And God sent a message down from heaven. You asked him for your life or whatever case, but he said, not my yacht. Not my yacht. I honestly believe a lot of the stuff and problems that we have in the church, I think the church, sometimes we overcomplicate things. I think it's super simple. Just do what's right. It's not anybody. You don't have to liken yourself to anything. It's just do what's right. Follow God's plan of salvation. You hear the gospel. Believe in Christ. Repent of your past sins. Confess Christ. Be baptized. Live faithfully until death. Make your salvation your primary job. Make it your primary job. Is anyone that need prayer or would like to make God's plan your plan? We ask that you come now as we stand and sing.